Very good morning. Let us turn to Romans chapter 12. As we continue to meditate upon the theme that we have set for this year, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And the next thought is that we serve the Lord as one body in Christ. And that's from Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and verse 5. I'm sure these are very familiar verses to all of us. And so Paul says, "As for us, we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." You know, the human body, our body, is an amazing thing. You don't have to be a doctor or a scientist to know this. Why? Because we all have one. We all have a body. From the time that we were born, we have experienced what it means to, well, be human. All the various parts that make up this body. It is the most intricate, most complex thing. This was a body that God had created in the Garden of Eden. Out of the dust of the earth, he formed man, and he breathed into us the breath of life. And then God took a step back and looked at the whole of creation and says, "Behold, it is very good. It is very good." And I'm sure that we can all agree that this body that God has gifted us, it is indeed very good. Yes, because of the effects of sin, the body will get frail and fall apart one day. We are afflicted with various ailments and sicknesses, disease, injuries. It is not an immortal body, at least not at this point of time. But perhaps because of these weaknesses and infirmities, all the more so we can appreciate the analogy that Paul uses here as he compares this human body to be as like the body of Christ. What is he referring to? Well, he's speaking about the church, or what we sometimes call the church universal. All believers together all around the world in all times, we make up the body of Christ. And that is the comparison that he uses here in verse 4. He says, just as we have many members, and what that means is that just as we have many parts in one body. And we know that, right? Our body is made up of many parts. Even a child knows that from the youngest age. All the children's books talk about that. We have our heads, shoulders, knees and toes, eyes and ears and mouths and nose. I mean, these are all the parts. There are the visible parts, the hands, the feet, the things that we see. There are all the parts within us, all our internal organs, all the various systems that enable us to live and to breathe. We eat daily. We use the digestive system. We have to breathe. And there's a whole respiratory system. We know that there are blood that courses through all our veins. And that is the whole cardiovascular system. So it is a very amazing, intricate body. And Paul recognizes that. He says, in the same way that our body is the way that it is, think of the church as being like that as well. It is like a living organism, a very complex organism, made up of many members, but all the members come together as one body in Christ. And so that is the picture here that we want to consider. As we think about serving the Lord, as we think about this theme for this year, we must recognize the fact that we are not serving in isolation. Some people like to say that, right? Oh, it's just between me and God. It's my walk and God. Nothing to do with anyone else. That's really not the case, is it? Or that was not God's intention or God's design for our walk with him. Because it is always in conjunction with our fellow believers, the other members, the other parts of the body of Christ. And some people say, well, you know, I come to church and I don't feel like it's being very useful to me. I rather worship God alone at home. And especially with the whole events of the past few years, the whole pandemic, And then many churches moved online. We were forced to move online during that time, in 2020, 2021. And some people got used to that. They thought, hey, why do I have to travel to church every Sunday? I mean, it's so convenient, right? I roll out of bed, I just turn on the television, turn on my device, log in, I'm there, I'm part of church, I'm doing church. And some people got so comfortable, we never saw them again. We see the name online every Sunday, but that's just it. But that's not really part of being the body of Christ, is it? And some people say, well, you know, that's all that is important. I just listen to the message. I worship God the way that I can and the way that I feel like, and that's it. But that is really not part of being part of the members, being a member of the body of Christ. We do not serve God in isolation. We do not worship God in isolation. We worship God together as one body of Christ. And that is a picture that Paul wants us to think of here. And it's in line with the previous verse that he talked about. As we say, well, we have to serve him in humility. Recognizing the fact, at the end of verse 3, he says that every man has been dealt the measure of faith. Right, everyone is different. There is this diversity, but that diversity is a diversity within the body of Christ. We all have different gifts. We all have a different calling. And it is with that differences that God has then called us together and to say, now you serve, but you don't serve in isolation. You serve together as one, not two, not three, not ten, not five. There's one body in Christ. So there are a few thoughts that we have as we consider what it means to serve the Lord as one body in Christ. And through that, we recognize, well, the role that we play and the role that we play in light of the communities that God has placed us in. So the first thought is that we are all distinct parts of the body. Yes, it is one body, right? But just as verse 4, as I mentioned, we have many parts in one body, but all members have not the same office. Now, the word office here is the idea of function, right? We all have a different role to play. We all have different gifts and we all have different callings. And again, at a very basic level, we recognize that about the body, right? We all have different parts. The hand is not the feet. Although some people who are very talented in, you know, gymnastics or acrobatics, they can walk on their feet, but that is not normal. And that's not the function of the hand. The function of the hand is to pick up things and to do things, and the function of the feet is to walk on the floor, right? And we have different parts. The nose is not the ear. The ear is not the eye. The eye is not the mouth. And each of these are specifically designed to fulfill their role, their function. The eye cannot hear. The mouth cannot see. Right? They are all designed perfectly to fulfill the role and the function that they have. This is something I'm sure, again, we all understand. We don't have to be a doctor to understand that. Yes, we go to school and we learn science and biology, and then we begin to delve deeper. And this truth, yes, takes on, perhaps you can say, a deeper meaning as we look into the designs of the cells and of the DNA and how each of these cells, you know, from the time that we were just an embryo, began to take on these specific characteristics, being able to fulfill the role in which they were designed to fulfill. And this is all part of God's design. That every single cell, yes, even down to the last cell, has their specific role and function to play. That is God's creation. And so Paul uses that idea and says, well, that is how we are in the body of Christ also. I mean, we all look the same. He said, we're all people. But there are such a diversity of gifts. Right? There are so many talents. There are so many differences amongst people. And with these differences, we harness it to serve the Lord. Because all of us have different functions within the body of Christ. I mean, just in one Sunday morning like this, in order for the service to run smoothly, we have different people playing different roles, and not all these roles are interchangeable, right? For example, we had a pianist this morning. Not many in our midst are gifted with the ability to play. Some are, and so we have a roster. Yes, every Sunday there is a different person playing the piano. And what that does is assists us in the worship, enabling us to hold the tune, enabling us to hold the beat, the rhythm. That is the gift that is given to these select few individuals, and they use it for the service of the Lord. There are some people that are well-versed in technical things, electronic things, and so they are manning the PA system. Normally, you'll notice them. If everything runs smoothly, well, everyone can hear. Even there are people online that are logged in that are able to follow the service as well. But then, you know, when things go wrong, that's when their ability kicks in, and they are able to remedy and rectify whatever glitch happens in speedy time so that the service is not hindered. As you walked into church this morning, there were people that greeted you, welcomed you. Again, there's a different office. And while you may say, oh, that's a very simple role, they're just standing there giving out bulletins. But not everyone has that demeanor. It is an important role to fulfill also, that as we come in the morning in church, we are welcomed. And they look out for newcomers. They look out to especially welcome some who are perhaps are not so familiar. This may be their first or second time here. And so they are guided by these ushers at the door. And the list goes on. Before today happened, there was a group of people putting together our weekly. There was someone that printed it. There's someone that folded it. As someone that made sure that everything in our sanctuary is well set out, organized and neat, clean and ready for worship. And that's just a fraction, just a small sample of the many hands that have made, well, the whole function of the church possible. And that is just a sample, a picture of the idea that all members have not the same office. But we need them all. We need all these members to come together to do these various parts. Within this, there's this idea that, you know, the function of the body has to be carried out by all the members of the body. You can't just expect the few members to fulfill the office of everything that needs to be done. Just like in a fully functioning body, right? You can't have some parts that decide to take a rest, take a break, and say, I'm not going to work today, and I'm going to take a rest. You can't do that, right? You have, you know, one heart, you have two lungs, you have two sides of the kidney, yes. But when parts of it start to shut down, the body's in trouble. Yeah, you can function for a while, but you're crippled, you're sick. If one side of the heart says, well, you know, I'm going to take a break this week, what happens? The body can't function with half a heart. You can't. One arm decides one morning to say, well, I'm not going to move today. Yeah, you can get by, but you're crippled. A lot of things become very difficult. And that is what we have to understand about the body of Christ as well. Every member has to fulfill their role. Everyone has to fulfill their function. But having said that, we also realize that just as everyone has their office, therefore we must not go beyond that which we are called to do. We do not push our way into offices or to fulfilling roles that we are not called to. Right? Not everyone is going to be a preacher or a pastor. Not everyone is called to be a Sunday school teacher. There are those who are. And those who are, well, they must nurture that gift. And they must do it well. But there are some who, and we recognize that about ourselves, that may never be called to a certain area of service. That is not where God wants us to be. And therefore, we do not insist or push that, well, this is what I want to do, I better do it. You better let me do that. Imagine if the ears one day says, well, I always want to taste what food is like. How come the mouth gets all the good stuff? I mean, it's just ridiculous, right? You try to force food into your ear, what's going to happen? It doesn't work. We do not want to fulfill the office which we are not called to. We do not want to force or insist that I better be allowed to serve in this area or this ministry because I love it, I enjoy it. But if that is not what we are called to do, then that is not where we should be serving. Recognizing the fact that we are one body in Christ means that we know that there are distinct parts of the body, and wherever it is or whatever it is that God has called us to do, we do that. And we do that to the best of our ability. That is faithfulness. That is faithfulness. And that is a wonderful thing when we see a person recognize their calling. And then for the rest of their life, they do that. And they do that faithfully, knowing that this is where God wants me to be. I do not move from it. I do it, even though people may not recognize or see my task, my role being fulfilled, even though nobody gives thanks or, you know, appreciates or even recognizes my efforts. I just keep on doing it. Why? Because this is where God wants me to be, and this is what I will do, and I will keep on doing that. I mean, if you think about it, the same will be said for all of our organs, every part of us, right? All our lives, that's all they do. The heart just keeps on pumping day after day, day after day. It keeps on sending blood throughout all the parts of the body, faithfully, without stopping. You see, when we recognize the office that God has called us to, when we recognize that, well, this is where God wants me to be, and then we just be there, and we stay there. And sometimes there are people that say, I want to serve the Lord, I want to serve the Lord. But they're very distracted. They want to do many different things. And so they do something for a while, and then they get bored, and they say, well, okay, maybe I'll try something else, and I try something else, and I try something else. And so within the span of 5 years, they have, you know, changed areas of service 7 times. I mean, it's not to say that we can never change our areas of service. Yes, our lives, as we grow, as we have differing circumstances, the area in which we can serve may change and may differ. But we have to also recognize or understand that wherever it is that the Lord has called us to, well, that is where we stay. And until the Lord directs us elsewhere, well, that is what we will do. That is what it means to serve within the body of Christ. Imagine if the pastor, me, right, decides, I'm a bit bored of preaching. Maybe next week I'll try my hand at playing the piano, right? It looks fun. And so I tried that for a few weeks, of course, to disastrous results. And then 2 weeks later, 5 weeks later, I says, you know, maybe I want to give ushering a change, right? And you guys, someone just from you come and preach, and I'll stand outside, shake people's hands. That's fun as well, right? And then a few weeks later, says, oh, no, I'm bored with ushering. You know, maybe I'll be doing lunch from now on, right? Someone else ushers, someone else play the piano, someone else preach, and I'm just gonna, you know, cook. I mean, it looks ridiculous, right? You say, well, you're supposed to be the pastor. You're supposed to be the one preaching. Well, yes, I do that. And by God's grace, if God wants me to continue here, well, I will endeavor to do so as long as the Lord has called me to this office. But the same should be said about every other part of the body. Right? Wherever it is that the Lord has called you to, oh, then we faithfully endeavor to do that to the best of our abilities. In the course of time, can we take on more offices? Yes, of course. The Bible says that we are ever abounding in the work of the Lord. But we do so only in accordance to what the Spirit has given to us. And in conjunction with this whole passage, I want to I want us to also put a finger at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is another passage, a much more extensive passage, where Paul also talks about this whole idea of, you know, the church being one body in Christ. And firstly, on this idea of the distinct parts of the body, of the various offices that we have, well, we recognize that these all come through the gifting of the Holy Spirit. And so he begins in verse 4, he says, there are diversities of gifts, right? 1 Corinthians 12, 4, he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So what is he talking about here? The same as what I've been saying, right? There are diversities of gifts. It all comes from the one Spirit, from the one God. He is the one who has called you to serve him in these various areas, right? There is a diversity of operations, diversity of works and things that we do. There are different offices, right, to fulfill. But all of it is given from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives to all men, all who are born again believers. They all have gifts. And so recognizing that, what we also must see, or what we must know, is that we all have a role to play. We all have something to do. In the same way, in the body, right? From the little toe, the little finger, to the vital organs, we all have a role to play. There is a function to fulfill. And when we find that, we recognize that. Oh, faithfully endeavor to do that to the best of your abilities. Because that is why God has saved you. God has saved you to serve. And to serve means that you recognize your role in the body. Whatever it is, whether you're the heart, the lung, the liver, or you are the finger, the toe, whatever it is that God has called you do that to the best of your abilities. And so he goes on to say, so we being many are one body. And that's the second thought I want to focus on now, is that you are a united whole of the body. So firstly, they're the distinct parts of the body, but the whole body or the distinct parts all come together as one united whole. Verse 5, right? So we being many are one. We are all united together as one. And so while we say, yes, we are distinct parts, it is all together in one body. Like a body, right? We are not dismembered, right? We are not cut off one from another. We are all parts that are joined together. And that's what a body is, right? If one part of the body is taken out, it no longer serves its function. They call it dismembering or amputation, right? Or if, you know, a particular organ is taken out, well, that organ does not fulfill the function or the role anymore. It is gone. And so he says, well, all of us come collectively together and we are one united whole. And so while there are distinct parts of the body, we must also function together as one body in Christ. And the idea here is the unity of the body. The unity of the body. Do we see that also? You see, in our society today, or perhaps you can say the more Western style of thinking, is a very individualistic sort of thinking. Well, it's all about me and what I want, what I strive to do. And so, well, society today speaks of all these thoughts of the freedom of your expression, or you do you, right? It's your life, pursue your life to the fullest. Nobody tells you what to do. You have your rights and I have mine. You have your opinions and I have mine. And so we're all individuals. Less and less so do we recognize the collective wholeness of our identities, whether it is of nationality or race or gender. It's all very fragmented today. It is about what you think and what you want to do. But actually, that ought not to be the case. That is not how God designed us. God designed us to come together, to come together as one people, and here specifically with regards to the context of the church, as one body in Christ. And sad to say, well, because of this individualism, we see a very fragmented church today. Yes, part of it is to do with sin, definitely, right? Because of differing doctrines, differing interpretations, people have split and divided into a very fragmented state today. But a lot of it also is to do with man's pride, man's desire to say, well, I do not agree with you in every single way, and I don't think we can work together. And at the center of it is a lot of arrogance. And that's what gives rise to a lot of division. But that ought not to be. That ought not to be. Because the Bible says, we being many, we are one body in Christ. And we are all one under the headship of Christ. And do we have this sense of unity? And even, you know, if we don't talk about the larger context of the universal church, just our local church, do we look around and see and recognize the fact that we are all parts of one? Do we see that identity? Do we have this closeness and oneness, one with each other? That yes, I am a part of this body. I am part of Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. These are the people that I care for. And these are the people whom I rely on. Yes, I know that in times of need, in times of trouble, they are the ones that come. They help me, they guide me. They strengthen me, they encourage me. And therefore, it is your role to do the same. Do we have that oneness? And we thank God, right? There are the ones who are really very much part of this body. But there are those that perhaps you can say are on the fringe or not quite yet integrated. And we do definitely pray, right, that all of us, all of you, will recognize or experience that oneness, that unity. But it begins really by, you know, coming together to want to participate in the life of the church, to want to fulfill our part as the distinct members of the body, to be able to experience and share our lives together. And that's what worked towards us, you know, being more and more integrated, more and more united, more and more to become as like one and not fragmented parts. And that is the thought that is elaborated in 1 Corinthians 12 as well. Beginning with verse 12, Paul goes on to say, for as the body is one, so same idea, right? Same analogy he's following here. For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So same thought, right? What we've been talking about. But then he goes on to elaborate. He says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, or whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And so he says, whatever your background is, right, were you previously a Jew or a Gentile, meaning a non-Jew? Whatever your cultural background is, whatever sort of social economic status you come from, right, whether you're a servant or whether you're a free man, that was a big distinction in those days. Were you born a Roman citizen? Were you born as a slave? Were you a captive from another land? Whatever it is, he says, we are all the same in that we have all received that one Spirit of God. And therefore, the body is not one, but many. Not one member. It's not just about one part. It's about everyone that comes together. And all of us have a unique role to play, but all of us are one. And so he goes on to say, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course, it doesn't make sense, right? The foot doesn't say, I am not the hand, and therefore I'm not so much a part of the body. The foot says, I'm so far away and I'm always touching the ground, and people think I'm dirty and smelly. I don't feel like I'm part of the body. I feel so excluded because I'm so far away. That's ridiculous. No, the foot is definitely very much part of the body. And he says, no. Can the eye or the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Of course not. Just because one part of the body feels like it's different, or maybe excluded, or not as treasured, or not as cherished, does it mean it's not part of the body? Of course not. We know, all these parts make up the whole. And therefore all you, all of you, every single one of you, you make up that whole. You are all part of this body of Christ. And the question is, do you feel that way? Do you recognize that? Do you understand the fact that you are church to you, worshiping God, serving God? Is it just something that we do as a by the way sort of thing? I happen to be free on a Sunday morning. It seems like a nice place to be. All right, I'll come. Or do you really recognize the fact that this is what you are a part of? This is a vital, fundamental part of your life, that you are first and foremost, above all things, a believer. And because you're a believer, because you're a Christian, you are part of the body of Christ. It's not just an et cetera part of your life. It's not just a by the way. It is the very core aspect of your identity. I am a member of the body of Christ. And therefore, my life centers and revolves around that. Everywhere I go, I carry with me that identity. I am a member of the body of Christ. And I go out, I witness for the Lord. I seek to be the very best testimony that I can be for Him. And I continually try to do what I can to encourage, to reach out to those around me, fellow believers. I seek to edify and encourage them in the Lord. And that is how I become that part of the body, recognizing that I'm one part of the whole. This is who I am. I am part of this one body. But the next thought then tells us about the head of the body. And just two words, right? One body, as I've been emphasizing on, but it is one body in Christ. One body in Christ. And so he says, yes, we are distinct parts, right? We are all different parts of the body having a different office, but we come together as one body. But crucially, what we must also recognize is the fact that the head of the body is Christ. And that's what makes this body a body in the first place. You see, if the body does not recognize the head, then what does that make us? This headless body is no different from any other organization on this earth. If we do not have Christ as our head, because there are many bodies, right? And it's a sort of a language that is also used, right, by many other organizations. Whether you are part of a company or a shareholder, right, you come together as a residence committee in an apartment block, whether you join a social club, right, you have a particular interest group and you join together as a body, as a member, and all of them will have their chairman, their presidents, their CEOs. There are all these heads that are in charge of these various bodies. Who is the head of the church? It is not the pastor. It is not the board of elders. It is not the leaders of the church, not at all. They're just placed there, yes, as the under-shepherds. The Bible sometimes uses the word under-shepherds of the flock. But the one head of all churches, the one head of the universal church is the Lord Jesus Christ. Time and again, the Bible emphasizes this fact. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, invisible and visible, whether it be thrones, dominions, or principalities, all powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he's talking about Christ. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That means he must be number one. He must be first. Preeminence. So what are the implications of being the head? As you know, the head is the command center of the body. That's where our brain is. That's where the instructions are passed on to the rest of the body through this whole central nervous system. You cut off the head, nothing else works. Everything just falls apart. It's a dead body. But with the head in place, well, all the things are able to function. Me standing here is because my brain is sending signals to all the parts of my body. My actions, my words, everything, it stems from the head. The head, the brain, is giving instructions to all parts of the body, and all parts of my body, they're responding to these instructions. And so clearly the analogy comes to say that, well, as members of the body in Christ, it is very logical, therefore, that as members of this body, we must submit to the headship of Christ. Christ is our Lord and our Master. He is the one who created all things and gave us this life. And by him, all things consist. That means it is Christ alone that sustains everything in this world, everything of the church. Without him, we can do nothing. But in and through him, well, we have life, we have breath, we're able to function. And so we must, of course, be in submission to him. In everything that we do, every act of service that we render, it has to be in accordance to his will and not our own. I imagine that is something that we understand well, right? Every believer ought to be able to confidently say that, yes, Christ is the ruler. Christ is the one who has absolute authority over all things. We must submit to him. But practically, do we do so? Is this something that we are daily considering? That Christ is the head and we must unquestioningly obey. We must submit entirely. There must be no doubt, no hesitation, no questioning. I mean, that's what we expect of our body, right? You tell your arm to raise up, right, to lift up. You don't expect the arm to say, are you sure? I'm not so sure about that. Or it says, yeah, you know, I lifted up myself for you many times yesterday. I don't think I want to do that again anymore today. I've had it, you know, give me a break. That's one day off. No, we don't expect the arm to do that. And if the arm stops responding, it is a great cause for concern. We're off to see the doctor straight away, right? Woke up this morning, the arm's not working. We don't expect that. We expect instant obedience from whatever part of the body it is that we want it to do whatever it is that we want it to do. That is because the whole body, the members, the parts of our body are submitted to the headship of the head. And that's how we all ought to be to Christ. Unquestioningly, we obey him. Whatever it is that he calls us to do, we do. The body has no right to question the head. Now, sadly, some, even within the so-called body of Christ or so-called believers today, they question, they doubt. Just earlier this week, I was shown this video clip of a so-called pastor, preacher, this lady that was talking about one of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was the passage of the woman, a Syrophoenician woman, So she's a foreigner, and so she comes and asks Jesus to heal her. And so initially Jesus, to test her, right, denies her, and then talks about the fact that she is not a Jew and therefore does not deserve that healing, and compares her, or then she compares herself, or says that, well, the dogs do not deserve the food from the table, and then she says, well, even dogs deserve a crumb. And that so-called pastor says, oh, you know, frankly, I'm embarrassed about what Jesus is saying here. I'm uncomfortable with what Jesus is saying. I don't think Jesus said the right thing. And she basically rebukes Jesus from the pulpit, saying Jesus was wrong in saying the things that he said, calling him out as a racist, as one who is discriminating. And I do not know what brings a person to have the gall to say something about the words of God, to say that Jesus is embarrassing in this account, and I do not want to be associated with a Jesus like that. Well, frankly, I don't think Jesus wants to be associated with a part like that. We have no right to question. And when it is that we don't understand the words of God, the problem is not with God, the problem is with us. We need to study more. We need to think more. We need to examine ourselves more. Whose sense of morality, whose sense of righteousness is correct? The word of God or ours? And if we think that we can stand in judgment of God or stand in judgment of Christ, then we are in serious, serious error. We must obey. That is what the members of the body are called to do. Christ is the head, we are the body, and therefore we listen, we submit. Christ must have the preeminence in our lives. That's what Colossians 1 tells us, that in all things he must be number one. That's what it means to have preeminence. He must be the primary one who is eminent in all aspects of our lives. Christ must always be the first. Is that evident in your life? Is that what it means to be part of the body of Christ? Well, we recognize the fact that Christ is our head. He is the source of all life and vitality. Therefore, we respect, we honor, we serve Christ, the head of the church. And then one final thought that we have is the mutual then dependence of the body. Because it ends with the line that says, and everyone members one of another. And we already touched on that, but we want to focus a little bit more here in that this idea of this mutual dependence, or what people would describe as a symbiotic relationship that we all share. In that, yes, Christ is our head. We submit to him. But we are also all members one of another, in that we are parts of one another. We rely on one another. We need each other. And the same way, you recognize that about the body. Every organ is important. Because the moment one, just one part of your body starts to fail or malfunction, well, it becomes a serious inconvenience, to say the least, or a serious problem to the rest of the body. That's why, you go to a hospital, there are so many departments, right? So many sub-specialties and sub-specialties that doctors are involved in, right? There are whole departments that will focus on the heart, on the respiratory system, on the brain, right? On the bones, on the muscles, on every single part of the body. There are specialists that look into these things. Why? Because we recognize how important every single part of the body plays. And the moment there is one part that is malfunctioning, we have to see the particular doctor that specializes in that. But yet, we also know that these individual parts do not just function by itself. Sometimes there are these complicated cases where a person is not well, and many different doctors have to come together to diagnose and to work out, well, really what's happening. Right? And so, there are times when there is a complicated medical case and well, the doctors come together to form a team to look into, well, what this particular patient is going through. And so, you know, within that team, right, there is a specialist that looks into cardiology or respiratory systems or immune system. You know, is it to do with, you know, cancerous things? Is it to do with whatever it is? And so all doctors will come together. Why? Because they recognize the fact that a body is made up of many parts, but all the parts are interdependent one upon the other. And so if a person is not well, well, it could be due to numerous factors, and well, they have to all sit together with all their specialties and try to find out, well, what is the best course of treatment? How do we make the body well again? Why? Because all the parts depend on one another, right? If this organ starts to fail, the liver, for example, right, which has so many functions in ensuring, right, all the chemical balances of the body, you know, is all in line. Because that starts to fail, and then it can start to affect other organs. And so it becomes a complicated thing. Why? Because that is how the body has been designed. We all rely on each other, on the different parts of the body, to make it proper and whole again. And sometimes you just present as a pain, right? Go to the doctor and says, I have this pain here. So what is the case? Is it something inside? Is it the muscles? Or is it some other part of the body that's not functioning well causing the pain here? Frankly, as a layperson, we don't know. But what it does show us is the fact that the body is very much dependent on each other. You can't just look at one part in exclusion to everything else. In the same way, the body functions. We all need each other. We all need each other. Because without, you know, parts of the body starts to fail. And that is what Paul continues to argue, and this is a passage that I raised up last week, but I'll bring it to us attention again. 1 Corinthians 12, and look at verse 21. Right, 1 Corinthians 12, 21. And that is what Paul is meaning here when he says, we are all members one of another. We need each other, rely on each other, because the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you, right? It makes sense. You can't say, well, I'm more important because I'm the eye, right? Through me, I see everything, and therefore you, hand, you're not so important. Or the head says, well, I'm the head, I'm so important, I don't need you feet. Of course not. And there says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And the members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, and having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Now, what's all these things talking about? You see, within the body we have, you know, our own opinions, right? About what we think are more important, more worthy of honor, more attractive, more comely, more presentable. And then there are parts of the body that are more feeble, more weak, or uncomely. And it says, you see, God has caused us to be that, you know, the parts that we think are not so attractive, not so nice, not so useful, they are actually the useful parts. They're the parts that we really need. And there are some parts of the body which, you know, we spend a lot of time and attention on, which are perhaps, you can say, less important, less needful. I think I mentioned this last week, right? Like hair is something that many people treasure, and many people spend a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money on it even, right? Go for a haircut. And, you know, coming here to Australia is quite shocking. I mean, minimum, or just going out, is like, used to be about $20, $25, now it's like $30, just for a haircut. And really, you know, the hair doesn't actually play that much of a role. It's a more, perhaps, what people recognize as a comely part, an attractive part. People like to, you know, do up their hair and make it pretty and nice. But, you know, if they were all to drop off tomorrow, it's all right. Yeah, we need to put a bit of sunscreen when we go out, because the scalp can burn, but beyond that, it doesn't really, you know, fulfill much of a function. But these are the parts that people spend a lot of time and attention on. And he says, yeah, that's what Paul is saying here, right? These which we bestow more abundant honor upon, right, we may not actually really need it as much. But God has made that all the parts that we perhaps don't find as attractive or needful, or perhaps don't even know about. The feeble parts, the weak parts of the body. And perhaps you can say the internal organs. These are weak, right? In that, you know, all it takes is a little gash, a little cut, and our blood starts flowing and can't fix itself. And these are really what is important, what we need. And so that's how the body is. The parts that we think are useless or not needful, those are the parts that we really need. And so, well, again, what it means is that we must see the need of each and every one of us. All of us need each other. And the tendency of a church often is that they focus on the leaders, the pastor. It seems to sometimes be the face of the church. Well, what he's saying here is that I am no more needed than any one of you. No one is indispensable, right? But we are all needful. And we have to see, right, that just because a person is called to be a pastor does not mean he is greater or more honorable or more worthy of, you know, honor or praise than anyone else that is faithfully serving the Lord and fulfilling their calling, doing what God has called them to do. We are all necessary and needful parts, and we all need each other. We all need each other. Do we recognize that? And sometimes we may just look at ourselves and it says, "Oh, I can't do much. You know, I'm not very gifted. You know, don't have many talents," right? But that doesn't mean that we do not fulfill a role. It doesn't mean that we do not have a part to play. And you may not realize it, but just you continuing to be faithful, you continuing to serve the Lord wherever it is that God has called you to serve. And you may think it's a very insignificant role. You think that, well, nobody really is very much blessed, or, you know, nobody really benefits from whatever I'm doing. Well, think again. You may not realize it. Yeah, people may not vocalize that. Yeah, maybe even people take your service and your labor for granted. But as long as we are faithful, as long as we are doing whatever it is that God has called us to do. And yes, one part cannot say to another, "Hey, I don't have no need for you." Of course not. And the purpose behind this, God says, that there should be no schism in the body. There should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. We must all care for one another as one body in Christ. We must all see the fact that we are necessary and needful to each other, right? Just because you think of one part that is always less important, not so important, and you don't care so much for it, and then you realize or recognize how important it is when you lose it. He says, "Well, my toes are not important, right? I mean, they're just toes. They're so far away from me. They're kind of funny looking. I don't need them," until you lose them. And then you realize, "Oh, I can't balance. I can't run properly. I can't walk properly," right? Because I lost my toes. No, we should have the same care one for another. You could take care of every part of your body. The same way, in a body of Christ, we are called to care one for another. And so when one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's what it means to be one. We care for one another. We rejoice with those that rejoice. We weep with them that do weep. And we have that same care one for another. May we all serve the Lord in that way, recognizing the fact that we are all one body in Christ. Different members, different offices, yes, but we all come together as one. One in Christ as our head, and all mutually dependent one upon another as one body in Christ. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word this morning. We thank thee for the body in Christ that thou hast placed us all in. Help us to see our part, the role that we play as one body in Christ. Help us to serve thee effectively to the best of our abilities, insofar as thou hast gifted us with the abilities to serve thee. We pray that thou help us in this year, as we focus on the thought of being fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, that you enable us to serve effectively as one body in Christ, that together we may grow unto thee in all things, submitting to thee as the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the body. So we thank thee for this time, this meditation upon thy word. You bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.